Ken Rockle, our LFO staff member who specializes in this area, and so I think I would just turn it over to Ken to begin the presentation. One thing before we do begin, if members have questions in an effort to get done with this in a timely manner, it would be very helpful if you could keep your questions very brief or, as an alternative, list them and talk to Mr. Rocco after this meeting or next week. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Ken Rocco with Legislative Fiscal Office. I'm the coordinator for the Natural Resource Program Area within the Legislative Fiscal Office. And I'm here with some help from the other members of our office and the Department of Administrative Services today to give you an overview of the Natural Resource Program Area. This is going to be, as you've probably noticed from the earlier overviews, it's a high-level overview. We're not going to get into a lot of details. We just wanted to give you a picture of the governor's recommended budget and some of the priorities in that budget and some of the issues that are included and outstanding in the budget. So to start, we're going to look at some program area totals and then get into six of the largest natural resource agencies with a little bit more detail. I would recommend if you want to get some more in-depth information on these budgets that you look at the LFO analysis of the governor's recommended budget, which has been produced earlier this week, and there's more details on all of these agencies, the major programs in each agency, revenue sources, and all that kind of information. So. The Natural Resource Agencies or program area consists of 14 agencies. They're listed here on this slide. Before last session, there were 12. The two new agencies on this list are the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, which was created by the 1999 legislature, and the Office of Energy, which used to be a department a few years ago, was turned into an independent office within the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and then was restored as an independent agency last biennium. For the first time in a number of years, the Natural Resource Subcommittee of Ways and Means will be dealing with all 14 of these agencies this time. I think that could be termed a performance measure for the subcommittee. In the past couple of sessions, both Parks and the Marine Board have been dealt with by the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee, but all 14 will be in Natural Resources this time. I've passed out a listing of budget contacts. It's a double-sided list. On the one side is by each of these agencies, the LFO budget analyst with phone number, and also the DAS or BAM budget analyst with phone number. And on the reverse side is a listing of the same agencies with the LFO fiscal impact person. So if you have a question on a bill in one of these areas, you can contact those people. And this list of agencies, all of these agencies receive some kind of state support, either general fund or lottery fund, except for the Marine Board. The Marine Board is funded entirely from other and federal funds. Lottery funds are provided to four of these agencies, and we'll get into more details on that. And only one, the Columbia River Gorge Commission, is entirely funded by general fund. The rest all have some kind of a mixture of funding. When you look at the natural resource program area, I think one of the things that stands out is the fact of that so much of it is in other funds. The general fund makes up about 20% in the 0103 governor's recommended budget for general. We're using general and lottery funds combined in these discussions. So,
I'm sorry. Yeah, I asked a question. How much of that 261 is lottery and how much is general fund?
Senator, approximately a little less than $100 million is lottery funds. The rest is general.
Thank you.
Other funds in the program area are primarily from fees, mostly fees that are paid by in each of the agency programs. The federal funds, as you can see, adds about 14% of the total. About half of those federal funds are in the Department of Fish and Wildlife, but other agencies such as the Department of Environmental Quality, the Watershed Enhancement Board, the Office of Energy, Department of Ag also receive considerable amounts of federal funds. Another interesting thing of the natural resource program area is that it does not really make up much of the state's use of general and lottery funds. It's just a little over 2% of the total. And this causes some types of problems when we're in tough budget situations like we are now, and all program areas are expected to share equally in budget reductions. You can see back in the late 1980s, the area made up about 2.5% of the total on general lottery funds, and that fell to a low of about 1.5% in 1995. Since then, there have been two events that have restored some of that general lottery fund share. In 1997, the legislature and the governor adopted the Oregon Plan for the restoration of salmon and watersheds. That boosted general fund support to these natural resource agencies. And then in 1999, the implementation of ballot measure 66 occurred, which provided an additional lottery fund dedicated towards parks and salmon programs. And you can also see in the 0103 biennium that the governor's recommended budget basically continues that level of support with only a slight slight increase. The other thing that we have found is that there's really no correlation between the size of the general fund in an agency's budget and the difficulty of getting budgets approved, because these agencies have as many problems as some of the larger general funded agencies in getting the policy decisions made in the legislature. If you just look at the state support, four agencies make up about two-thirds of the total, OWEB and Parks, and in both of these cases, that's almost entirely lottery funds. In fact, it may be entirely lottery funds. I think it is. OWEB does not receive any general fund in the governor's budget, and Parks is all lottery funds also. And then the other two major agencies receiving general fund are DEQ and the Department of Forestry. One of the technical type budget issues that we wanted to bring up to you is the non-limited concept, which affects a couple of agencies, as you can see in this chart, primarily DEQ, the Office of Energy, and State Lands. In each of these cases, the non-limited section of the budget refers to some kind of either a loan, revolving loan program, bond proceeds, or In state lands case, it's a distribution of the common school fund revenues to for K through 12 support, which makes their budgets look larger than they really are in terms of operating costs. Non-limited expenditures must be included in an agency's budget, and they have to be for identified specific purposes, but they're not really controlled by law, or they're not capped, basically. And usually these are expenditures that are either unpredictable, that are or can't be avoided or stopped in some way. And in the case of DEQ, for example, I know that it makes their budget appear much larger than it actually is in terms of their flexibility and how they use the funds. Because you have over $100 million in these non-limited expenditures. And we'll explain later exactly what those are in the Department of Environmental Quality. So based on that, for this next chart, we removed those non-limited funds just to show you which agencies receive the most of the total limited funds in the natural resource program area. And these, again, the largest four here are the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Department of Environmental Quality, Forestry, and Parks. We have two charts here, this one and the following one, that just show that how expenditures have grown in the natural resource program area over the last several biennia. You can see here that the middle bar, the yellow bar, has grown fairly substantially over time, and this is the one that is due to other funds and fees, basically. As the state general fund budget situation became more difficult in the early 1990s due to passage of ballot measure passages, there's been a greater reliance on fee increases and the expansion of some of these fee programs with additional revenues from fees. So that bar has tended to grow rather dramatically in the mid to late 1990s. There's also been, in the last couple of biennia, a increase in the federal funds, and this is largely due to the salmon-related programs of the Oregon system, where we're starting to get additional federal revenues for those activities. So this chart just shows the cumulative nature of those changes by fund source over the same time period. Back in 1991, general fund made up about 22% of the total, and in the governor's recommended budget, general fund makes up about 27%. So it is increasing in terms of the total proportion. In the governor's recommended budget for 0103, this is how much growth there is in the budget for the natural resource program area. The amount of growth, it depends on what you're comparing it to. And in this case, we're comparing it to estimated expenditures for 1999-01. If you look at what was approved, not what was estimated, you get different numbers. But for our purposes, we were going to look at a change between the 99-01 estimated amount. So there's a total increase of about $37.5 million. Now, this, because we're looking at estimated, and because the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board has a substantial amount of carry forward limitation in their budget proposal, we're overstating the actual growth a little bit. It's about roughly about $10 million that's included in carry forward limitation. But basically, we have about $10 million more dollars, general fund dollars, $27 million more in lottery funds. This represents about 2.6% of the increase in general fund for the state as a whole. And if you compare it to current service level, it represents about a 3.7% increase from the current service level. Now, the reasons for this growth are in the governor's recommended budget primarily are due to maintaining that current service level. About half of the additional general fund in the budget is for just maintenance of current service level, and that includes salary roll-up costs and other inflationary costs to continue doing the same activities that are in the current law. There's additional support for Oregon Plan and watershed restoration activities in the governor's recommended budget. There's an effort that you'll hear a little more about of institutionalizing the Oregon Plan by providing some more support services to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. And then there are some other packages included in budgets to help the Oregon Plan, such as additional monitoring for Senate Bill 1010 in the Department of Ag, the addition of some riparian specialists in the Department of Forestry, and the continuation of positions used for development of total maximum daily loads in the Willamette Basin for Department of Environmental Quality. And then there are some other priorities that the governor has identified in his budget, both new initiatives and then efforts to restore shortfalls that are based on fee revenue shortfalls from various fees in certain agencies. A lot of these priorities are funded within the program area itself or within an agency. For example, the Water Resources Department has made some base budget reductions and then moved that money to new initiatives such as the Stewardship and Supply Initiative, and so it's sort of internally funded. One of the biggest sources of revenue now for the natural resource program area from the state is the ballot measure 66 revenues. The latest forecast we have from last December is that there will be $90.4 million available for natural resource programs from measure 66. That ballot measure was passed in November of 98, and it dedicates 15% of lottery revenues to parks and salmon. Half of the amount is to be provided to parks and half for salmon efforts. This is about a $3.3 million increase from 1999 levels. So of the new revenue, this means that $45.2 million of new revenue will be available for parks in these categories, and the same amount for salmon and watersheds. In the governor's recommended budget, the $45.2 million for salmon is provided primarily to OWEB, but also to the Department of Agriculture, to the Oregon State Police for Fish and Wildlife Enforcement, and to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Now, another requirement of Measure 66 is that at least 65% of the money provided for salmon and watersheds is to be used for capital expenditures. And last session, the legislature defined capital expenditures, and we will talk a little bit more about that today. But based on that split, that requires that at least $29.4 million of this new revenue be used for capital expenditure projects, which leaves a maximum of $15.8 million for operational expenses, which includes administration, staff, and non-capital kinds of grants, like an education grant or something like that.
Sure. Is that all statutory, or is that amendment of the Constitution?
Madam Chair, Senator Tro, most of that is constitutional. The definitions of what a capital expenditure is statutory, but the split and the requirement that at least 65% be used for those is a constitutional change. In the governor's recommended budget, this is the proposed split of that of Measure 66 revenues. It includes $3 million of carry-forward money in the local parks, local park grants portion of the budget. But this is the split between administration operations, facility repair and maintenance, local park grants, and land acquisition. For the salmon and watershed portion of the money, again, this shows the split between that's in the governor's recommended budget between capital projects and operations, split on that 65-35% basis. What is not shown in here is the fact that the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board does have that carry-forward amount that I described earlier. And this basically represents monies that have been committed by OWEB from 9901 allocations of the lottery, but because of the timing and when they release those to specific grant projects would not be able to be completely spent during the current biennium, so they need the limitation for the next biennium. This graph shows where Measure 66 funds for salmon and watersheds are proposed to go in the 0103 biennium compared to where they went in 9901. Okay. Again, revenues are up slightly for salmon and watersheds from about $43.5 million to $45.2 million. And this shows that the bulk of the money, of course, is going to OWEB because they were identified as the single agency responsible for the administration of these of the Measure 66 funds for salmon and watersheds. In the case of agriculture, the governor's recommended budget basically maintains the level of support provided in 1999. For weed control grants and for support of soil and water conservation districts. The slight drop between the two amounts is due to a fund shift that the weed control program was also, in addition to grants, it also included some staff support, and that staff support has been shifted to general fund in the governor's recommended budget. For DEQ, the change here is from in 1999, DEQ received lottery fund support for what is known as the Oregon Plan Steelhead Supplement positions. In the 0103 budget proposed by the governor, those positions are maintained, but they're shifted to general fund, and the $200,000 that you see on this chart represents monies provided to DEQ for the Lower Columbia Estuary Program, and this is a program that is a bi-state type of program where Oregon puts in some money, Washington puts in money, and they do projects in the Lower Columbia Estuary. In forestry does not receive any Measure 66 lottery funds in the 0103 biennium. Again, these were steelhead supplement positions that were funded last biennium and are now being shifted to general fund. The positions continue, but their funding source has been changed. The fish and wildlife funds, Oregon plan positions within the Department of Fish and Wildlife are also shifted to general fund in the governor's budget. About $1.7 million remains, however, to support fish and wildlife activities with the Measure 66 funds. The state police funding is increased slightly. This amount of funding supports 15 fish and wildlife enforcement officers, as well as some capital outlay for those officers, basically state police vehicles. Due to salary roll-up costs within state police, Fish and Wildlife Division, however, that division is anticipated to lose 21 positions in the governor's recommended budget. Seven of those 21 are due to insufficient lottery funds to support the number of positions approved in the last budget. And the total amount for the Watershed Enhancement Board includes both dollars for operations and for capital expenditures. In 1999, OWEB received about $5.1 million in lottery funds for operational costs, and that's been increased to $8.6 million in 2001-03. Part of the reason for that is that OWEB also received $3.7 million of general fund in the 99 biennium, and that money has been eliminated from the budget and used primarily to fund some of these other steelhead supplement positions in other agencies. So that's the source of that fund shift for those. In addition to the use of general fund, this is a list of the governor's priorities using additional general fund in the 2001-03 biennium. The first one on this list is not all within the natural resource program area. It's a combined effort between the Department of Agriculture and the Tourism Commission, which is part of the Economic and Community Development Department. Which is a $3 million combined effort to do a joint Brand Oregon Agriculture Tourism Marketing campaign in the next biennium. And the rest of these we will describe in more detail when we get into specific agency budgets, except for the water resources ones, which provides about $500,000 for the stewardship and supply effort and $500,000 to continue the Klamath Basin adjudication. There are several major issues in the governor's budget. I'm trying to describe, there's a number of fund shifts going on, a general fund redirection within agencies, and the distribution of Measure 66 revenues, which will be a subject for the legislature to discuss whether that distribution should be maintained or changed. There's an issue about the level of state support for Oregon plan activity. The level of support provided for Willamette River Basin restoration efforts. There are a number of fee increases in the governor's recommended budget in the Department of Environmental Quality. The Fish and Wildlife Department has a sunset on their fee increase from 1999 that will affect their program if that sunset is not removed. Parks has camping and day use fee increases included in the governor's recommended budget. There's no state support for county fairs, which is always a concern of the legislature over the past, well, at least over the past several biennia that I've been doing this. And then there's a continuation of the Oregon Livability Initiative, not only a continuation, but a slightly new direction in it, in trying to bring in some rural development into the livability issue. So these are things that the legislature will definitely be discussing during this session. So that was the overview of the program area. Now we'd like to get into a couple of major agencies with some more details. The Department of Fish and Wildlife is one of the natural resource program area's major agencies. It has more FTE than any other agency in the program area. In fact, about a fourth of the total FTE of the whole area are within the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The department's revenues are primarily from fees and federal funds. The general fund that you see here of about $20 million is used primarily in the fish division. About $14 million of that is fish division support. Most of that goes to propagation, which is the hatchery program, and a smaller amount goes for natural production activities, which are more related to Oregon plan type work. The wildlife division, habitat division, and agency administration each uses about $2 million of general funds. The remaining amount of lottery funds in the governor's recommended budget of $1.7 million are used in the natural production program within the fish division. The primary source of other funds revenues are hunter and angling licenses. There's about $65 million included in the 0103 budget from hunting and fishing licenses. And this includes about roughly $5 million related to the sunset, removing the sunset on that 1999 fee increase that was approved. And the large amount of federal funds are from primarily from the National Marine Fisheries Service, about $30 million of that, the Corps of Engineers, Bonneville Power, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Representative Bowman.
Thank you. I just had a question. Has the legislation been introduced that would remove the sunset?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Bowman, yes, it has. I've seen the bill. I'm not sure what number it is, but we could get that for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
When you look at the major program areas within the department, I separated out fish propagation here just simply because it's so large, but it is part of the fish division. So the fish division by itself makes up over half of the total agency's expenditures. In addition to the propagation program, the fish division includes the natural production, which is basically the management of trout, warm water fish, steelhead, and salmon production. It includes the marine resources program, which is regulation and assessment of commercial fisheries. And you've probably been hearing a lot of news in that area because of the ground fish quotas that are being imposed on the state and other activities on the coast.
Excuse me, Mr. Rocco. Representative Hayden has a question.
On fish propagation, how much of that is purchased from private contractors?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, I'll have to get back to you on that. I know there's a package in the budget that would include an additional general fund amount for purchases of trout from private companies. And there was a bill passed last session that required a phase-in to have additional purchases made from private aquaculture companies.
So, 10%?
I'm not sure. You know, Linda?
Well, we'll go on to that later. You had showed us a previous slide that said $200,000 in purchases.
That is the package that is in the budget to enhance that whole purchase of live trout. And I believe it's $172,000 exactly that the governor has proposed to add to whatever base program the agency has.
But, that's an add-on.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And the other major Fish Division program is what's called the Interjurisdictional Fisheries Program, and basically this is the Columbia River program and intergovernmental type activities that the Department of Fish and Wildlife conducts with other with the federal government and other states in our area. The propagation program here represents expenditures in the state's 34 hatcheries and satellites, and it produces about 75.5 million salmon, steelhead, and trout every year. The Wildlife Division consists of three major programs: the Game, Habitat, and Diversity programs. Agency administration includes the director's office, the information and education section, and the point of sale licensing system support. And state police is on here because the department provides contracts with the state police for enforcement services. And there's about $10.9 million in the governor's recommended budget for these services. And that will support about 56 officers in the 0103 budget. To show you that over time how the department's expenditures have changed, and we've included this chart, you can see there's a slightly greater reliance on federal funds over the past several biennia, and this is due to additional resources from the National Marine Fisheries Service. Some people believe they're not paying enough for some of the problems they've caused, but they are starting to pay more and provide some more funding for activities for the department. The other funds has fluctuated a bit due to changes in the fee revenues. The total increases, I think, from the mid-90s on are again related to Oregon Plan efforts and the ramping up of certain activities in that area. And now I'd like to invite Linda Gilbert up from Budget and Management. We're trying to, as you've seen in the past, we're trying to share some of this discussion, and Linda's she's had it easy so far because I've had to do all this talking, so now it's her chance.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Linda Gilbert, Department of Administrative Services, Budget and Management. I am the budget analyst for Fish and Wildlife, and I'm here to discuss the budget and policy issues that were at work when the governor's budget was developed. I'd like to give some overall context for all of the natural resource agencies with respect to guiding principles in putting together the natural resource agency budgets. First of all, there were essentially two. One was to find ways to invest in the future in the context of the statewide resource constraints, about which you've already heard a great deal, of course, with this particularly tight budget. And within the invest in the future concept, there were a couple of different areas. As Mr. Rocco has already mentioned, there's an attempt to stabilize or institutionalize the Oregon Plan, and also there are dollars in the budget to fund clean water initiatives. Finally, there was also a goal of filling or partially filling budget holes or shortfalls from current service level budgets that had developed. As Mr. Rocco said earlier, we also attempted to self-fund within all of the natural resource agencies. That in some cases, natural resource agencies took cuts or reductions to base programs in order to fund other initiatives that fell within the budget principles. And I will now discuss the fish and wildlife budget specifically, first of all, with what's in it, and second, some of the reductions that were taken. As you know, the 1999 legislature approved an increase in hunting and fishing license and tag fees. This has a January 2002 sunset. The governor has proposed repealing the sunset, and the difference there is $4.6 million of other funds. If the sunset stays in effect, there will be a shortfall of $4.6 million in other funds. The budget also proposes fund shifting, thank you, from other to general funds on several positions throughout the agency, and these are positions that have been held vacant when they were on other funds because increases in revenue or the rate of increase in revenues to the agency have not kept up with the rate of increase in inflation and salary costs over a period of years. These fund shifts occur pretty much throughout the agency. It's a total of $1.9 million in general funds. The 1999 legislature also provided $1.1 million in general fund to the agency on a one-time basis. And the concept was that in as much as the fee increase had a sunset so that the 2000 legislature could revisit the issue, the 2001 legislature would also revisit the issue of the one-time general funding. The governor's proposed budget, because it repeals the sunset on the fee increase, also includes or adds back the $1.1 million in general funding. And finally, part of the Oregon Plan funding that had been in the Fish and Wildlife budget has been swapped out for general fund with OWEB. So this was an even swap, and it was about $2 million. In addition, there's an enhancement package for Oregon Plan type activities that adds another $500,000 for Oregon Plan to Fish and Wildlife. What's not in the budget? First of all, hatchery closures. There was a reduction of about $840,000 that involved reduction or elimination of production from three hatcheries around the state. There are also reductions, services and supplies reductions in hatchery for hatchery maintenance. Capital improvements in hatcheries has been reduced. Fish screening services and supplies is reduced. And cormorant hazing is also reduced out of the budget.
Excuse me.
Madam Chair, forgive me, I just didn't hear you. You said something about three hatcheries and I didn't hear it.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, three hatcheries are essentially closed. Either production is reduced or completely eliminated in three hatcheries.
Which three are those?
They are the Trask Hatchery, Rock Creek, and Butte Falls.
Thank you.
Linda, if you could perhaps pull your microphone a little bit closer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk a little louder.
Okay.
Are you done?
I'm finished.
Linda's finished. You'll be back.
I'll be back.
Linda will be back. Next, we have the Department of Environmental Quality. This, if you look at the total funds, not just again, we're going to that non-limited, limited thing, but if you look at total funds, this is the largest agency of the Natural Resource Program area in funding. This agency is responsible for restoring, enhancing, and maintaining the quality of the state's air, water, and land resources. It administers the state's pollution law control laws and operates a couple of federally delegated programs. The budget is, again, it's heavily other-funded agency, including the non-limited and the limited other funds. You have roughly three-fourths of the agency from these sources of revenues. The other funds comes from about 40 different fees that are imposed on people for
and corporations for most types of pollution permits. Basically, it's allowing pollution through a permitting process. These are air emission fees from industrial sources, vehicle inspection fees in the Portland area primarily, industrial waste discharge fees, municipal wastewater permit fees, there's subsurface sewage disposal fees. So you get the picture. There's a lot of fees in the
fines.
Department.
Fines?
Fines?
There's some.
I believe,
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, the agency is allowed to levy fines against people who don't comply with law, but that money all goes into the general fund. It doesn't go directly to the agency. The non-limited portion of this budget is primarily bond sale proceeds. It represents pollution control bond sales that are used for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund Loan Fund. And this fund provides low-interest loans to cities for the development of wastewater collection, treatment, disposal facilities. There are also other loan programs within this section for solid waste facilities and sewer systems. And then it also includes the orphan site cleanup program. And this is a program where you have a contaminated site where you either don't know who the owner was that caused the problem, that owner is unwilling to pay or is just unable to pay for the costs. And the state sells bonds in order to provide for this cleanup. In the past, these bonds have been the debt service on these bonds has been paid from a combination of general fund, lottery fund. At one point, it was using funds that the Attorney General decided were not eligible to be used from, I think it was the highway funds. So this has been a problem on how to maintain this program for cleanup, and there is a change in the governor's recommended budget for how to fund that for this 0103 biennium. The general fund that you see is used primarily in the water quality program. About $20 million of it is in water quality, again related to the development of total maximum daily loads and other kinds of clean water programs. Air quality receives about $5 million of that amount. And debt service makes up about $14 million of the general fund, and this is one of the problems that will only get worse as time goes on if we don't find a different way of providing for the types of bond sales that are used to for development of these wastewater facilities and other kinds of cleanup programs. The lottery funds in this budget of $500,000 include that roughly $200,000 for the Lower Columbia River Estuary Project from Measure 66, and it also includes $300,000 to pay debt service on lottery revenue bonds for the Clean Water State Revolving. This is included just to show you, take out that non-limited, that $116 million in non-limited, what it does to the budget. This is the portion of DEQ's budget that is basically used for operational costs, where they have some flexibility in how it's used. As far as the major programs of the agency, the water quality program again is about $50 million. The governor's proposed budget would split the waste management and cleanup division into two divisions, into waste management, into a waste management division and a separate cleanup division.
agency management on this is funded by indirect revenue, which is charged against the personal service expenditures of the other programs, and it's budgeted at about 19% of personal service costs in the 0103 budget. The cross media, that small sliver of this pie, cross media, is a relatively new program within the department. It was started last biennium, and last biennium it was focusing on efforts to clean up the Portland Harbor. Those efforts have now been shifted into the waste management and cleanup division, and the effort in cross media for the 0103 biennium is going to be the community solutions team effort with the livability initiative of the governor, as well as the pollution control tax credit program. The air quality program includes the vehicle inspection program, and probably one of the major changes in the governor's budget for 0103 is to convert 75 positions that are now provided through a contract with a temporary employment provider to transform those into state employees. There's also an air toxics package in the budget that would expand, that would create a new air toxics program.
Representative Windows.
Question. That provision is transferring from a contractual arrangement to a state employee arrangement. What's the dollar impact on that transfer?
Madam Chair, Representative Winters, you're going to make me have to consult.
I'm sorry, Winters, that may be something that...
Is that something you can get to me?
I can, and, I might be able to find it quickly.
Is it an increase or decrease?
It's an increase. Since we're running way ahead of schedule.
It is Friday afternoon.
I understand. I'm trying to get you out of here, Representative Morgan.
We appreciate that.
The package, Representative Winters, is because right now in the budgeting, it includes the contract dollars. The net increase is about $613,000 other funds, and that's because a couple of additional positions are added for management of safety concerns and other things like that. But it's basically just it's a wash, really. It's just that right now these are being provided by a temporary service provider, and under the proposal they would be state employees. The cost isn't that much different, however, but we can get you more details on
that. Could you please, because if every agency says only, but
it has the interest of the chair already.
And I'm looking for seniors.
This particular graph just again shows the growth over the last several biennia on the Department of Environmental Quality's operating budget side. There's been relatively steady growth over the last three biennia. There's about a 2.5% growth in the 0103 budget. The trend for some period of time has been for the legislature to provide general fund to offset proposed fee increases that are needed to maintain service levels. This has happened in each of the last two, three biennia, where a proposed fee increase has not been able to be to get approved by the legislature, so instead there's been general fund provided to offset the need for that fee increase. In the last couple of biennia, again, you have additional general fund for Oregon plan efforts and for an expedited development of TMDLs in the Willamette Basin. And both of those efforts are continued in the 0103 biennium. The budget proposes in this yellow portion of the graph in 0103 a number of fee increases to support the agency's programs, and I think Ms. Pearson is going to discuss some of those fee increases.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lisa Pearson with the Department of Administrative Services, and I am the budget analyst on the executive branch side for the Department of Environmental Quality. I will be going through some of the major issues that were addressed in the governor's budget for this agency. And as Mr. Rocco said, the first issue, and probably what will be the most controversial issue for this budget, are significant increases on fees for water quality permitting and air quality. There are also some waste and cleanup fee increases, and these are primarily to help with current service level shortfalls and some enhancements. Specifically, the wastewater permitting program fee increases a 58% total increase. 21% of the increase is for current service level maintenance. There was a one-time infusion of general fund made by the 1999 legislature, and a budget note to Senate Bill 5511 indicated very strongly that this was supposed to be a one-time infusion of general fund. So the governor's recommended budget includes a fee increase to maintain the current level of service. The rest of the increase is for an enhancement, and the enhancement results from meetings that the agency has held along with the Legislative Fiscal Office staff with a stakeholder group. And some of the issues that have arisen from those meetings include backlogs and timeliness of permitting. And so the recommended budget includes an addition of 12 FTE to address some of these backlog and timeliness issues. The second issue, second bullet.
Just a short question. Were the stakeholder groups willing to make the fee increases to do this?
Madam Chair, Senator Troe, there is a report that should be coming out as to how to address some of these budget shortfalls in this, in particular, I believe, to the 71st legislature, so it should be coming out fairly soon. They have been made aware of this budget proposal, and you know, whether or not they're actually committed will remain to be seen.
Well, I would hope that they would be willing, because increasingly it's hard to find general fund to do these things.
The second bullet talks about one of these budget shortfalls that was mentioned previously that we addressed in the governor's recommended budget. And the agency held a series of meetings and discussions with stakeholders again and talked about priorities and whether or not the priorities that were established in the 1999-2001 budget and previously would be the best ones to continue into the future. And one of the outcomes of those discussions was a reprioritization within the agency, and that meant that there was a move of general fund from the hazardous waste and cleanup program to the water quality program. And specifically, this moves waste cleanup contracting and other resources, and it will impact statewide waste coordination, inspection, and analysis. There's also shifting of general fund in the base within the air and water quality programs. And these are between the sub-programs within those programs. And those affect such things as wastewater operator certification, underground injection program, and open burning programs. Those are some of the programs, not all of them. This means that those programs are in need of fee increases or other funds. And so some of the packages in the governor's recommended budget do have fee increases for those purposes. The third bullet, as Mr. Rocco mentioned earlier, the state is committed to meet a court-agreed-upon deadline of 2003 for 9 of 12 Willamette Basin total maximum daily load plans to be completed. And the 1999 legislature provided 8 limited duration positions. Because these are limited duration positions, they will go away at the end of this biennium. In order to meet those deadlines, the positions need to be restored. And so there's a package to restore those positions. As Mr. Rocco also mentioned earlier, there's a fund shift of how the Community Solutions Team is funded. In the 1989-2001 biennium budget, it was funded primarily with funding from the Oregon Department of Transportation. That has not worked well at all. And so in order to continue that Community Solutions Team effort, the funding is converted over to general fund.
Excuse me, Representative Jones.
Madam Chair, briefly, could you say why it hasn't worked?
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, there were, during the 1999 session, there were some beliefs that a federal grant could be used for the activities that the Community Solutions Team perform. And it turned out later on that that was not accurate. The fifth bullet is, again, this recurring theme of institutionalizing the Oregon plan by removing lottery fund on the operating side of various agency budgets, bringing that and consolidating that into the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board budget and replacing those funds, the general fund, in the agencies that previously had the lottery fund. And then finally, as Mr. Rocco mentioned, a significant portion of this budget is non-limited, and there are two loan programs within that non-limited budget portion. One is for orphan sites, and the other is for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund. And because of statewide financial constraints, lack of general fund, lack of lottery funds, not a great improvement in the revenue forecast, we had to take another look at how we finance those programs. A significant issue that will come before your subcommittee on natural resources is how we fund the Orphan Sites Bond Program. And the governor proposes to use the ending balance from the Orphan Site account, but that's limited. And it's going to take up the majority of that ending balance just to fund the debt service for the 2001-03 biennium. That means that in the 2003 biennium, there will need to be another source of funding to continue the debt service payments. The amount from the orphan site account that we're proposing in this budget to use is about $0.3 million. And in the 2003-05 biennium, the debt service will increase to about $1.3 million. So there will be two problems. One is you don't have the $300,000 to continue on, and you also have a debt service increase. The other program, the State Clean Water State Revolving Fund, the governor proposes to fund with a lottery revenue-backed bond issuance. This is part of his overall proposal for lottery revenue bonds. That would provide about $0.3 million of debt service for the 2001-03 biennium. That increases to about $1.8 million thereafter. And I would note that, unless Mr. Rocco has already done so, there's a significant match here of federal to state funds. So for every state dollar we put in to the bonds proceeds, we get about 5 federal dollars back. And that concludes my portion of this presentation for this agency.
Thank you.
Next, Madam Chair, we have the Department of Forestry budget. As I'm sure you're all aware, this department provides fire protection services on the state's lands. It also provides these services under contract for private forest lands. It administers the state's Forest Practices Act. It manages state lands, both lands under ownership of the Board of Forestry and common school fund lands
that it manages for the state land board, and it provides forestry assistance to a variety of individuals, non-industrial forest owners, small woodlot owners, and people like individuals like that. Most of the agency's budget, again, is from other funds. These are primarily from harvest taxes, landowner assessments, timber sale proceeds from state lands. The general fund is primarily in the protection from fire program. About $16 million of that total is in protection from fire. This is due to a statutory requirement that those protection from fire activities are shared equally between landowner assessments and the general fund on a 50-50 basis. Forest practices receives about $9 million of the general fund, and this is due to a similar kind of statutory requirement that forest practices type programs are shared 60-40, general fund 60%, harvest tax 40%. The remaining $9 million general fund is provided to agency administration. The non-limited portion here, there's some non-limited in the protection from fire program, but the bulk of it is due to the operation of the agency's nursery and its equipment pool activities. The two largest programs in the department are the fire protection program and state forest management. Fire protection is provided for just under 16 million acres of forest land in the state, and this is done primarily through 13 local forest protection districts or associations that are scattered throughout the state. There are some areas of the state where there is no fire coverage from forest fires. And I think that's one of the issues that needs to be discussed this session. The state forest management program here is provided for about 800,000 acres of lands under the Board of Forestry and the state land board. The Common School Fund pays about $11 million of this $57 million for state forest management. It comes from the Common School Fund for under an agreement with the land board to provide forest management on those common school fund lands. And included in the capital and construction segment of this pie chart here is two major program the construction projects, the Tillamook State Forest Interpretive Center and a district headquarters building for the Tillamook district. And again, this chart shows the history of forestry expenditure, Department of Forestry expenditures over the last several biennia. You can see it's heavily dependent on other funds' revenues. It does not receive many federal funds directly, although it does spend some federal funds with other funds under certain kind of contract or agreements with various of the federal agencies. The additional general fund and the governor's recommended budget, it doesn't go up much, but it does go up a little bit, is again a fund shift for the there's a fund shift from lottery to general fund for the steelhead supplement activities. And then there is an addition of three riparian specialists in the budget that will be used to address recommendations made by the Forest Practices Advisory Committee with about $300,000 of additional general fund money.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
So these are expenditures. What's the input, the cash revenue? Is it positive or negative? How much do we make off the state forest? Hello?
We're thinking, Representative Hayden, and we're drawing a blank. I'm not sure exactly how much the state makes revenue-wise. I'll get that for you.
I'll get back to him. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'll go over the budget and policy issues again for this agency. There is a fund shift of general fund to harvest tax, and this is the result of some of those budget shortfalls and other agencies within the natural resource policy area and statewide constraints on general fund and lottery fund resources. And what happens here is that about $0.7 million of general fund is taken from this agency, about $0.5 million of harvest tax revenue would backfill that reduction. So overall, there's about a $0.2 million pure reduction to the agency. And the harvest tax portion, it's a portion of the harvest tax that the 1999 legislature had earmarked for the forest health, forestry assistance program. And if that were to continue, then that money would be used to backfill, the majority of that money would be used to backfill this reduction. This next bullet actually just restates what I said, which is that $0.2 million of general fund is removed from this budget, and this will affect forestry assistance. And it will probably affect assistance to small family landowners. The budget does add riparian specialists, as Mr. Rocker just said, for Oregon Plan implementation for recommendations that came out of the Forest Practices Advisory Committee. And some of those recommendations include what to do about fish passages and a landscape approach, which is a lot more than we want to get into right now, but we have added resources for those recommendations. And finally, the recurring theme again is the fund shift of lottery funds to general fund to institutionalize the Oregon Plan. And this again has to do with the Steelhead Amendment and moving the lottery funds to general funds. And that summarizes the major points of the forestry department's governor's recommended budget.
Madam Chair, the next agency we wanted to take a quick look at is the Department of Agriculture. This agency is responsible for ensuring food safety and consumer protection. It protects our agricultural natural resources, and it promotes economic development within the agricultural industry. Again, the theme here is other funds support. This agency has about 56% from other funds. These revenues come from licenses, registration fees, and service contracts. The recommended budget includes some fee increases for pesticide registrations, some for exotic animal permits, and certain commodity inspection services. Federal funds are primarily from U.S. Department of Agriculture. The general fund is mostly in the natural resource policy area, about $12 million of that total, and about $6 million is in food safety. The ag development and marketing program area receives about $4 million of general fund in the governor's recommended budget. The lottery funds, as we discussed earlier, are about $2.4 million of that is a pass-through for soil and water conservation districts. And the remaining amount is for this weed control grant program that was started with Measure 66 funds last May. This yellow pie slice here is labeled wrong. That $23 million should really be $31.5 million. And that percent should be $41.6 million. And I'm showing you how I do these pie charts. I just copy these things, and I forgot to change those numbers. So, the natural resource policy area, which is the largest section on here, despite the numbers, it consists of a couple divisions. There's the Natural Resource Division, and this division conducts CAFO inspections, which is confined animal feeding operation inspections. It also conducts the Senate Bill 1010 agricultural water quality management planning efforts of the agency. It provides that soil and water conservation district assistance, and it provides for the protection of threatened and endangered plants. And all of these areas are related to Oregon plan type activities. It also includes the pesticides division and the plant division. The governor's recommended budget includes a continuation of the pesticide use reporting system that was approved last session. And this is supposedly to be, by statute, it's supposed to be funded equally by general fund and registration fees. The food safety policy area consists of the food safety division, the measurement standards division, animal health and identification division, and laboratory services. This, about one-fourth of the funding of this area is from general fund. I think that the most, what this section does that you're probably most familiar with is inspect grocery stores to make sure that that the packaged food in that store is clean and safe. And the Ag Development and Marketing Policy Area includes two divisions. One is the Ag Development Division and the other is Commodity Inspection. And the governor's budget includes that joint Ag Development Tourism proposal that we discussed earlier. This is just a historical view of the agency, and it shows that the general fund is growing over time, but proportionately it's making up a little bit less of the department's budget over the last few years. One of the reasons is that because of economic growth, the department has more grocery stores to inspect, it has more delis to inspect, it has more measuring devices to check. So the department's activity is increasing, and it hasn't engaged in many fee increases over the past several years, primarily because of this growth in activity. So, and that's primarily why you see this large increase in that middle section of that chart. And again, the state support in this agency is related to Senate Bill 1010 program activities and other kinds of Oregon plan work that the agency is responsible for.
Madam Chair, I'll be going through the Department of Agriculture major budget issues in the governor's recommended budget. The first one is a proposal to add $3 million total statewide for agricultural marketing and tourism. In this policy area, natural resources, that's really $1.4 million of general fund. The proposal is to have an umbrella marketing strategy for Oregon producers, and it would be under a banner of Brand Oregon. The proposal adds one position in the Department of Agriculture and a position in the Oregon Economic Community Development Department, Tourism Division. And this is an investment in sustainable rural Oregon. We talked about investing for the future, and this is one that the governor has indicated is important, in his opinion, for the future. The second bullet highlights that.
Just a question on that one. Is that one based on some kind of assessment of what's needed out there in the area of agriculture? Is it marketing that we need, or research and new plants? What tells us we should do this rather than something else?
Madam Chair, Senator Trow, this proposal came up, and I think that they're looking for synergies. I hate that word, but synergies between the Department of Agriculture and piggybacking tourism on top of that. So if Brand Oregon goes out and becomes successful, we raise our profile nationally and internationally, then people will want to come to Oregon. And so it was look at trying to get value-added products out and do the initial trade and then also bring people into Oregon to tour various areas of the state. And
is there some reason to think that would be successful in doing that, branding Oregon and getting your products out brings tourists? I mean, how do we know that happens?
Madam Chair, Senator Trow, this is an area where maybe I can get back to you with the information that the agency provided us. It's rather detailed and rather wordy.
Okay. Because there are there are cuts in the budget in some research programs and some programs dealing with extensions and experiment stations and so forth that provide, I think, a lot of very practical help in developing new products. And
as I said, the second bullet just highlights the fact that I believe for the fourth time, the governor's budget does not include the county fair funding. The next bullet, again, is the recurring theme, institutionalizing the Oregon plan. I think enough said. And there is a position added for Senate Bill 1010 monitoring. There are now four plans / rules adopted, three drafted, and out for public comment. So as these are being implemented, there is some need to determine whether or not they're effective. And as Mr. Rocco mentioned, the governor's budget funds basically the next stage of the pesticide reporting system. And House Bill 3602 from the 1999 session established this. Currently, they're working on getting a full-blown pilot out, and last I heard, that should be ready by the end of this month. Then by the end of this biennium, they should have the capacity to roll out statewide as long as they have the funding. And then the final bullet indicates that the governor's budget does maintain the current level of service for both weed control and for the Soil and Water Conservation District support. And that concludes this portion of the presentation.
Madam Chair, the next agency, we have two more agencies to go, and then we'll be out of here. The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, although this board is a relatively new agency, it was first created as OWEB by the 1999 legislature. Really just built out of what was called the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board, which was administratively a part of the Water Resources Department. GWEB was created first in 1987, and it was given the responsibility for restoring and enhancing riparian and upland watershed areas in the state. So it was really a precursor to OWEB and had a fairly successful record of doing these kinds of activities. Before a lot of interest was put into watershed restoration, it was sort of an innovative program back in the late 1980s. In a minute, I'll show you a slide that shows the dramatic increase of the GWEB-OWEB budget because of this Measure 66 funding. OWEB budget is heavily dependent on lottery funds, as we've been discussing throughout this afternoon. If you're aware, the legislature passed House Bill 3225, which implemented Measure 66 language, and also passed Senate Bill 5549, which was OWEB's budget bill, which provided a distribution of the lottery funds based on legislative priorities for the use of those Measure 66 funds. Due to the nature of the capital expenditure program of the agency, this granting program, there's substantial carry forward in the agency's budget, and the reason for this is that OWEB has decided to go into a phased kind of a grant award process, and they just awarded the last round of their 9901 biennium grants last week, I believe, at a board meeting. So because of that, and because of some of these grants take up to a year, 2 years to complete, they cannot be finished within the biennium that the money is allocated. So I think the legislature is going to have to always be dealing with this carry forward issue. We have some thoughts on how to address that that we'll bring to the subcommittee and talk about that. The other fund, the small amount of other funds here represents half of the proceeds of the sale of from ODOT from the sale of salmon license plates. So when you see a salmon license plate on the car, half of the money from that is going for watershed enhancement and restoration. Federal funds includes are primarily from the National Marine Fisheries Service and represents a new source of money that the Emergency Board approved last year in 2000, approximately $9 million per fiscal year, last fiscal year and this current fiscal year, from the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program. So the money you see on this chart, about $8 million of that is carry-forward money, just like the lottery carry-forward, because the agency is projecting to be unable to spend it all in this current biennium. $9 million of it represents new revenue for the next biennium. This chart just shows the split, again, between capital projects, and this includes both the new money and the old money for capital, and it shows on the operational side of the agency where the funding source is for each one of those operational activities. The budget includes several enhancements that I think Linda Gilbert will discuss with you briefly. There's a reclass of some positions included in the recommended budget. There's some additional positions for financial management activities for the grant program, because it's getting to be such a very large granting program of the state. And there are positions added for this Oregon Plan institutionalization and the consolidation of some activities that the Oregon Plan does across agencies. There's an attempt to consolidate the oversight of those within OWEB. Now, this chart shows you the history of the funding. You can see back in 1991, the budget was less than $500,000, right around $500,000. And it was primarily just an education demonstration project kind of a program. In 1993-95, there was the Watershed Health Program was instituted, and the Water Resources Department at that time received about $5 million in lottery funds for watershed health. And that program was continued through 1995-97. Then in 97-99, the Oregon Plan was initiated, and it was funded with a combination of general fund and timber tax revenues. The timber tax revenues provided some support, but not as much as had been anticipated, because when the federal government listed coastal coho as an endangered species, that repealed. There was a part of the legislation that said if that happened, the timber tax would be repealed, and that happened. So what the Emergency Board did to fulfill the state's commitment to the Oregon Plan was to provide additional general fund from the Emergency Fund to maintain the program through the 1997-99 biennium. And then in 1999-01, you see that it switched from general fund to primarily to lottery funds, Measure 66 lottery funds. Last biennium, there was a lot of discussion about backfilling of general fund with lottery funds, and that that's not what the proponents of Measure 66 had intended. But what the Measure 66 proponents didn't realize, I don't think, is that there was no money for the Oregon Plan. There was no funding source. The timber tax was a one-time source of revenue, and it turned out to be sort of a quarter-time source of revenue. the general fund that was provided was a one-time general fund, so there was no real mechanism to continue the Oregon plant. So the backfilling issue was never, I don't think, fully addressed during last session. But what happened then in 2001-03 is you see this combination of new revenue and carry-forward revenue to make that increase the size that you see. In addition, you have these new federal funds from the Pacific Coastal Program, Salmon Recovery Program.
Madam Chair, what is the new revenue besides the federal funds?
I'm sorry, Senator Chair, it's just that combination of carry-forward Measure 66 money and new Measure 66 money. That's the...
So the Measure 6 is lottery money.
Yes.
And the new Measure 6. 66 is lottery
yes.
money, so it's mostly lottery money and federal funds.
And there is no general fund in the governor's budget for the agency in 2001-03. And I think Linda Gilbert's now going to talk about some of the issues in OWM.
Mr. Rocco is so efficient that he's already covered about the first four bullets on the issue page. I'll recap briefly. This particular budget addresses the governor's budget principle of Oregon plan stabilization. One of the first things in it, when GWEB became OWEB, the new director requested an audit. The audit revealed that with the increased funding available to provide in grants, better grant support was needed. This package of administrative enhancements provides fiscal staff to answer that purpose. The budget continues support for watershed councils. In a way, the OWEB budget mirrors what the Department of Agriculture's budget does for soil and water conservation districts. OWEB does for watershed councils. There's $1.7 million added to a base of $2.4 million, so it'll be about $4 million altogether. With respect to stabilizing or institutionalizing the Oregon plan, a couple of things happen here. One is the addition of four positions for standardizing the reporting of the data associated with natural resource agencies overall, particularly inventories of assessment and monitoring activities. And it's also standardizing some of the GIS mapping issues. Finally, there are two positions that had been with Fish and Wildlife that are moved to OWEB. And we just covered that. As Mr. Rocco said, there are additional federal funds available. The additional amount is $9 million, excuse me, and there's a carryover of $12 million of committed but unspent federal funds in the budget. And these will mostly be used for again, grants to watershed councils. There are a couple of packages carved out of the $9 million. One is $500,000 for the Willamette Restoration Initiative, and the other is a $500,000 supplement to the IMST, or Independent Multidisciplinary Science Team. The base budget has $400,000. This adds $500,000 to that for the seven-member team. Finally, what's not in the OWEB budget, no discussion of a natural resource agency budget would be complete without our mentioning that the general fund that was in OWEB has been swapped out to various agencies for a like amount of lottery fund, ballot measure 66 lottery funds, swapped back into OWEB.
Madam Chair, and the last agency we wanted to go into detail on is the Parks and Recreation, and Susie Jordan from Legislative Fiscal is responsible for that agency and is here to give me a break.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I am Susie Jordan with the Legislative Fiscal Office. The Oregon Parks and Recreation Department operates under a seven-member commission that is appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. And the commission, in turn, then hires the director who serves at the will of the commission. Their budget is about 127 million, and they're proposing 507 FTE. This next slide gives you an idea of how the department breaks up the state into nine park units. There are 220 state parks throughout the state of Oregon, 52 campgrounds and 171 day use areas, and some special use facilities such as boating docks, group meeting halls.